that if you can deal with any type of buyer, there is a certain type of confidence involved. And your buyer picks up on that confidence. They pick up on your swagger. They pick up on your vocal pitch. They pick up on your tone. They pick up on your body language. What gets you frustrated? What gets you flustered? And when they see that they've got no moves against you, sometimes you will see a difficult buyer go, I've got the right guy. I've got the right girl. Let's do business. It was a test.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha and welcome to the North Shore. I'm currently sitting in Haleiwa, Oahu at Hale. Aloha and welcome to the North Shore. I'm coming to you live from Haleiwa Ali'i Beach Park, which means I'm 20 feet from the water. So in the background, you can hear a few things. You could hear waves. You could hear people walking by. You could hear helicopters. And it started to rain a little bit ago, and I've got a canopy over the top of me. You might hear some rain coming through on top of my canopy. Today, I want to talk to you about specializing in difficult clients. And one of the things that most people are scared of in the world of sales is having to deal with a difficult client. It's their kryptonite. They don't want anything to do with that person. They can't do anything with that person. So they get frustrated and they walk away. And for you, there is the ability for you to have some gold in this. There is the ability for you to have some deals in this. And there is the ability for people in your department, people in your company, people in your organization to hand off leads to you that they can't deal with. So when you know how to deal with difficult buyers, you have so many opportunities in front of you, and most people don't think like this. Most salespeople are scared out of their mind to deal with difficult buyers. Now, for you, the cool thing is if you deal with difficult buyers, an easy buyer by far looks so much easier than the difficult buyer just did. So it's really good conditioning for you. You know, it's like if I walk down the beach right here and the sand is really soft, and then I switch over to where it's compact by the waves, and by where the water's coming in onto the beach, it's two different things. When you deal with difficult buyers and you deal with an easy buyer, it's night and day. So you're going to find that if you can deal with any type of buyer, there is a certain type of confidence involved. And your buyer picks up on that confidence. They pick up on your swagger. They pick up on your vocal pitch. They pick up on your tone. They pick up on your body language. What gets you frustrated? What gets you flustered? And when they see that they've got no moves against you, sometimes you will see a difficult buyer go, I've got the right guy, I've got the right girl, let's do business. It was a test. And a lot of times what salespeople don't understand is sometimes that test is done for a reason. When you know how to take care of difficult buyers, people will seek you out. Some of the best referrals that I've gotten have come from the difficult buyers because they were able to say, hey, I trusted Scott and he delivered what he promised. You can go with him too. So here is a couple of reasons why salespeople are gonna. Here is why buyers are gonna test you out. They're scared. Anytime that you have change, for some people, they're just very cautious about change. Some people just don't want change to happen. They don't like it. They don't feel like anything good is gonna come from it. So they're scared of it, and they put on a good front, and they come in, and their fear, instead of being like, I'm scared to do this, becomes, hey, if I'm a difficult buyer, I might find reasons to not do this. Two, they might be taken advantage of by other salespeople. They may have been cheated and lied to in their life. They may be a broken person, and I don't mean that in a negative way about them. They've just been cheated, lied to, abused, and so they're very skeptical about what's going on in life. Three, something you may not think about as a salesperson is this, that anytime that you fix a problem, you create a problem. Think about it. Anytime that you fix a problem, you create a problem. If I have a problem with my ankle and I know what the problem is and I know that on Wednesday mornings when it's cold outside, I don't go outside and walk around because it's going to hurt. Now, let's just say that I meet a doctor, and the doctor's like, you know, this is a really rare case of ankle problems. I can fix it. We just got to do surgery. And then now, in my mind, I got to go, okay, what is surgery going to do? Now I got to go under the knife. Now I got to take a couple of days off of work. Every problem that you solve has the potential of creating a new problem for the buyer. And it freaks them out. They don't know how to deal with it. They know what life is like right now. They don't know what life is like when you fix the problem. You know, here is problem number four. They're scared that you won't be able to live up to your hype. And a lot of salespeople will do whatever it takes to close a deal, but at the end of the day, if there's a problem, they won't fix it. At the end of the day, if there's an issue, you can't find the sales guy, you can't find the sales girl. And this is one of the reasons why you should always run towards problems and take care as fast as possible, because most people have the expectation that you're going to do nothing. And when you run towards a problem and take care of it and fix it, people go, this is the right guy, this is the right girl. And this is why it's so important for you to have testimonials, reviews, and things written about you, is because if you have a cascade of information, you have hundreds, if not thousands, of reviews, it's proof. It's proof that you're okay. It's proof that you're not going to take advantage of the person. It's proof that after the widget, gizmo, product, or service gets sold, they're going to get taken advantage of. So think through why a buyer's scared. And so sometimes when I'm meeting with a difficult buyer, the game that I play while I'm thinking about talking with them is, are they scared that I'm going to fix their problem and there's going to be another problem? Are they worried I'm going to take advantage of them? And you can start picking up on their language patterns by listening to what they say. Are they just skeptical in nature? Or are they worried that whatever I say is going to fix a problem isn't really going to fix it? Have I just been overly hypey? And you're like, hey, Scott, so now that you've talked about, what are some things that I can do? Well, if you have the belief and you go into the belief that you're going to learn how to deal with difficult clients, one of the best things to do is sit in on difficult situations. So someone's like, oh, I got a difficult person over here in the cubicle. You should go, hey, can I sit in on that? Somebody says, oh, I just got off the phone with a difficult person. They're coming to the office and they're going to have a conversation. Can I sit in on that? Someone says, oh, I got a difficult buyer. I don't want to work with them. Step in and raise your hand and go, I'll try it out. I'll work it. You know, if you've got the capability and you've got a coach and you've got a mentor and they sat in on that call or they sat in with that buyer or they went to go fix whatever warranty problem was involved, ask them questions. How did you learn? What are some things that you saw? What are some things that you picked up on? How did you pick up on the person who was angry for this reason? Where did you get these questions? Who taught you these questions? Let me take you to lunch. Let me ask you for a couple more questions. Your job as a exceptional salesperson is to pick up the clues, and you can do it on your own. I'm going to tell you, you can, but it's hard. The shortcut is to go to somebody who's figured it out and say, what can I do to mentor underneath you? What can I do to take you to lunch? What can I do to take you to dinner so I don't have to do it the hard way and reinvent the wheel, right? Some people call it reinvent the shoebox, but if you've got to reinvent everything, it's a difficult way to live. And then if you're smart about it, what you'll do is you'll grab that person who's good with difficult clients under whatever situation, whatever's going on. Role play with them. Look for their word tracks. What is it that they're saying? What is it that they're doing? How is it that they're going about dealing with this difficult person that nobody else wants to work with? And I promise you, when you look at them, listen to the cadence of their voice. Listen to their speech patterns. Listen to how they interact. Listen to their confidence, how they ask questions. Watch how they position their body. Watch how they move about, and everything that they do is fluid. They're not scared. Fear builds fear anywhere. It's not even sales, but like if I'm out in the wild and I'm scared of something, people can pick up on that. Someone who's really good with dealing with difficult people walks into a room and you're like, this guy and this girl is all about solving this problem. I've got some respect for him. And your buyers are going to pick up on that. And the cool thing is when you deal with a buyer that's not difficult, they pick up on it as well. So how do you deal with this in the real life, okay? So you're with a difficult buyer. Here's what you do, is you slow down and you listen. Now, most of the time when somebody's difficult, they're going to tell you a story. And I have learned over time that if it's a woman and they're upset and they're being difficult, they're going to tell you this story probably 3 or 4 times, and what you're going to look for is the sigh. The sigh. They're going to go, and like instantly you're going to know everything is going to change. Their vocal pitch and tone is going to change. They might even apologize, and they're like, I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent, things have just been very tough. But once you let that person get the sigh out, then you can talk, then you can listen. And sometimes what will happen is when you're listening, they may check in and go, are you listening to me? Yeah, absolutely. I want to make sure that everything you have going on, I'm taking notes on, so I'm writing things down as you're talking. I hope that's okay. And that's one of the word tracks is my go-to is if somebody calls and they're upset, Scott, I'm mad. Okay, well, I'm going to let you talk, and while you talk, I'm going to take some notes and I'm going to listen. I'm going to be quiet, so if you feel like you need to check in, I'm writing all these things down so that I can go back and take a look at what's going on. And they usually go, okay. Then they tell their story 3 or 4 times. They give their sigh. They might check in a couple of times. And then what you do is you ask questions. What is it that you want? How is it that you want to see this fixed? It's not, you know, I see this happen so many times when there's a problem that the person who is pushed into the corner, the salesperson, the manager, is going to start coming up with solutions. That may not even be what the buyer wants. It may not even be what's going on. And sometimes you have to ratchet back whatever the buyer is upset about, whatever the client is upset about, whatever their demand is. Hey, we can't do that, but here's what we can do. This won't work, but here's what will work. Right? You got to have a good series of sales phrases or word tracks to use with. Ask for the sale. Ask for the sale. So many times I ride with salespeople, so many times I work with salespeople that they will go through all these processes, they will do everything they can, and then at the end of the time, they just sit there and they blink and they look at the buyer, and the buyer goes, all right, I'll give you a call, because they don't know the next step. They don't know that they should be like, okay, well, where do I sign up? Can I get a credit application? Can we set an install date? Can we get everything going? It's not how it, can I drive it off the lot? Whatever your product or service is, know that you got to ask for the sale. So, just to recap for you, get used to dealing with difficult clients. There's good reasons and silly reasons why people are difficult. Some of them have something to do with you. Some of them have nothing to do with you. The things that you could do is you can sit in on difficult clients. You can sit in on upset clients, whether they're buying or whether they're trying to buy. You're going to get the word phrases down. You're going to get the timing down, the confidence down, and everything's going to work out. And then real life, put it to use. Slow down the process. Somebody who's being difficult may be saying, I need attention. And because I need attention, I'm being difficult. So by you taking time and dealing with me, I'm going to buy from you. Listen to what their problem is. Ask questions, follow up, and then ask for the sale. Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.